Look, it's Dark Tanis. I mean, Tassadark. I mean, Alarak. This is Kor.
Full credit to John for that one. It was in our notes and it made me laugh. So, whoever put that in there. Who put that in there? Why would you put that
I
in
put
there?
That in.
Was that you?
That's okay. That's what I'm going to call him. Tassadark or Dark Tanis.
Dark Tanis is my favorite because it sounds like a medical condition I should probably have looked at. You don't want a Dark Tanis. Anyway, hey, enough about my Tanis. Let's talk about your Tanis. It's the Kor show. I'm still fueled on some cold medicine and a trip to the gym. That's a strange thing to have happen. It's episode 45. I'm Scott Johnson with Bo Schwartz and John Jagger. We're here to talk about Heroes of the Storm. Lots to talk about. It turns out Gamescom has been a good Santa Claus for us today. All sorts of stuff broke. So we'll talk about all that in a minute. But I thought it'd be cool to start off the day discussing nerfs. And how we feel deep down in our souls when they happen. What do you do when you get nerfed? Like, you've all been there. You got a hero you love. I don't know who was a good example lately. Let's say...
Tracer.
Okay, Tracer, sure. John's been playing a lot, or had been playing a lot of Tracer. And her current nerf, or coming nerf, or has it already happened? The one you were worried
about?
It's
happened. Okay. It finally hit.
Okay. So the nerf, was it today? No, last Wednesday.
It was last Tuesday, I believe. We hit that with the balance patch. It could have been the Tuesday before.
I can't remember either. But anyway, so that happened. And then how do you feel when that happens? Like you love her. She's great. She's one of your assassins that you go to and you'll play her well and all that. And then the nerf bat came and smacked you right in the noodle. And how did you respond? And how should you respond? I think this is an important part of the psychology of the game to discover. Or explore.
Yeah,
today.
I'm kind of curious what you guys do in this case because I was really getting back into Tracer right when they announced, "Hey, we're gonna nerf her," and I don't know if she's, you know, still viable or not. The build I was using is gone, and that, you know, could be good, that could be bad, but it's made it really hard to want to select Tracer when it comes to character select time because it's just like, well, I don't know, I might be level 9, but I kind of feel like I'm starting off at square 1 again with her. And I think we've all been there, but I'm curious. What do you guys do?
All right, Bo, I want to hear from Bo first, but I want to say this before that. There have been a couple of times where Bo will say, oh, man, you got to be playing Kerrigan right now. She's incredible. Okay, cool, I'll do that. So what's up with her? And then you'll explain why she's incredible and how she's just killing it in Hero League and getting banned all the time now and all this stuff. And my brain says, oh, well, that's getting nerfed, so I shouldn't get too comfortable with her now. So I go one level beyond you, John. You're getting nerfed in the moment with the thing you already like. I'm already thinking about a nerf down the road for characters that are clearly OP. And I think that's more unhealthy than what you're talking about in terms of my approach to the game. But we'll talk about my psychosis in a minute. Bo, how do you feel about your favorite character getting the bat?
So Kael'thas being the number one suspect for me. I play a lot of Kael'thas. He's constantly getting tuned. It's really irritating.
Yeah.
But probably important. So let's keep that in vision. I think I'm a bit of a maniac, so my advice might not apply to a lot of people in that I play a lot of this game. And I have a built-in sense of redundancy, if that makes sense. Like, here's my favorite hero. Here's who I like to play. Very strong right now. Greymane, that was the case for a period of time.
Yeah.
But when that happens, I can easily switch into something. Two options. Switch into something else or play a few experimental quick match games and try different builds. See what other people are doing. Maybe try that. And if it's not working, it's not working. I had some actually interesting thoughts about this game in that when you think about a lot of other MOBAs, people tend to excel. They have their mains.
Yeah.
They excel on certain heroes. And you guys have your favorites that you guys like to play.
Sure.
And my time spent in Hero League a little bit is that I think this game in particular pushes a generalist skill set more than a specialist skill set, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, you mean like if you're good, you need to be good at Kael'thas, but you also need to be good at, I don't know. I mean, you just need to be good at as many characters as possible because the roster is more of a character than it is in other games. In other games, it's
not,
like here.
Let's say not even be good, because okay. Not everyone listening maybe is tryharding. You know, like it's just have a pool of heroes that are your favorite. Don't just play one. Like,
right.
You know, I spent a lot of time when I first started playing. I played 100 Illidan games, I think, in a row. Like, I just loved Illidan. Yeah. And then it was a surprise to me at a certain point when, like, everyone hated having Illidan on their team. And, you know, oh, another Yolodin and whatever. And it sort of, you know, it sort of pushed me to try other things because I like winning, too. And I think heroes have their counter, like, their counter plays. And I learned that because this weekend I was playing some Hero League with Kyle. And I did a really scary thing. I took Tracer into Hero League for the first time.
Uh-oh. Whoa.
And you, everyone knows, I think, on the show, if you listen, I'm like, Tracer. But she was amazing. So they had a Murky pick. And I was like, Tracer, instant win. And I dominate. Like, it was because Murky can't do anything. And it's like, well, I'm glad I'm not great at Tracer, but I know how to play her enough. Mm-hmm. That was, I felt really scared about doing it, but as the match went on, I felt really reinforced by my choice. Instead of, say, taking Kael'thas for the 500th time, I'm good at Kael'thas. He's my main.
Did you win the game in the end?
We won the game, and I was building stacks. There's a gathering power style stack talent for her that you lose on death, but you get very powerful, and you just kill Murky. Oh, you hunt him down and kill him over and over again, and he can't do anything. He's completely helpless. Because you're at range, but you can stay with them.
Did they draft Murky before you drafted?
Yeah, okay. That's why it prompted me to take the Tracer. It was like, they got a Murky. And then Kyle said, hey, Tracer would be good here. And I'm like, I can play her, but I never played her at this level of competition. So I was like, better put my money where my mouth is. And
we had a moment like that with Tychus recently, where we got into a situation where they had a double tank. I was the only person left to pick, and you guys were like, hey, John, how's your Tychus? I was like, good. He's level 2. So I jumped in, and I think that goes kind of with what you're saying is I might not be a master at Tychus, but I have an understanding of the game and the mechanics enough to where that was at least effective because he has a strength that was there to counter what they were doing.
So, Bo, how is that different than, say, League of Legends, since you've had a bunch of experience with that? What is the difference there? Isn't it as good for me to be versed in lots of character styles and not just one or two over there?
I think that there's two differences over there. One is that there's one map. So the heroes that are important in the meta don't vary from map to map. You get none of that vector of variation.
Yeah.
The other thing that happens, too, is... it may not be true anymore, but the major patches, the significant changes to the game happened once a year. So you could reliably sort out your pool. Heroes, and again, this is something I've been thinking over the week. Heroes is such a volatile place in terms of meta because there's a patch every week. There are significant changes to the way things go where Kael'thas is suddenly dominant and now he's not. And then Greymane got that buff. Everyone's playing him. Now he's not. Kerrigan and Zagara are, you know, big first pick, first ban material, and they're falling down in 2 weeks' time. And this is through a competitive season. It's not like we're shifting seasons, and even on a competitive scene, they're practicing certain heroes to get good with them, yet they're changing all the time. It must be very challenging to have, like, your unbreakable team comp and strategy always messed with every couple of weeks, whereas I think... when patches are more drawn out, there's some stability. I don't think stability in this case necessarily means a good thing. It sounds good, stable. It's just a different environment. And I think that means when you play, you can definitely just play your favorite hero all the time, but it's good to just try other things. There's a lot of heroes and they're all fun to play. And I don't think in this game in particular, playing a different hero requires that much of an adjustment for you, unless you have never played it before.
Well, it feels mental to me. So what I was saying before, John, about preemptively being upset that something's getting nerfed because someone will say you should be playing this character, she's totally rad right now or whatever, and I'll play her, and then I'll go, this is clearly going to get nerfed. I'm going to go work on something else. I just know that that's coming. And that's weird to feel that way. I get really caught up in the mental problem of what character is being looked upon poorly right now, or which one is on the loser list on Hots Logs, or, you know, which one has got a terrible win rate, or whatever, or which one is pissing other teams off, or who's getting banned the most. Like, all of these factors play a role for me. And there are days where I'm like, you know, if I just go Vala, no one will care because she's just great and fine and does what she needs to do, and nobody's complaining about her, and she doesn't have any great strengths or faults. She just is who she is. I don't think that's a good way. That's probably not a healthy way for me to be playing it.
I mean, it's hard because, like what Bo said, this game does change so fast and so frequently that it's hard to have characters that you can say, well, these are reliable standbys that I don't have to worry about seeing change very much. Because even Vala, who I agree has been this real safe bet for a long time, I think the devs recently alluded to the fact that she's going to be getting a rework coming up soon here.
Yeah.
So I think there's an element of they might not be touched right now, but they're not. That doesn't mean they're going to be safe forever. And sometimes the meta just swings in a real violent, surprising way. We haven't seen a ton of changes made for Chen, but all of a sudden he'll just click with the right people, and all of a sudden he becomes an unstoppable force. And next thing you know, he's on the list to be nerfed. So that hasn't happened yet, but it I can see it being true.
It feels it feels like it, right? That feels like one that's has to be heading toward the nerf. The Nerf Hut, or whatever they call it over there when they nerf something. I guess they probably don't.
Nerf Hut.
You know, the Nerf Hut. It's where I used to
go. Take him to the Nerf Hut and nerf him.
Keep in mind the way this game works, too, is that sometimes when certain characters become buffed or even nerfed, other characters change in power level in relation to. So your hero could remain completely unaffected, yet somehow carve out a stronger or weaker space based on what's happening with other heroes.
That's a good point. So there's a good example of a character right now that's in the game or that's in the meta that's sort of become awesome by merely just hanging around in the back line waiting for other people to change, and now that suddenly that person's great. Like, who is like that? There's got to be somebody.
Well, I've got a little secret, and nobody's talking about this, and it may just be me, and maybe I'm wrong, but I've proven it out over a couple of games, and we've even live streamed it. A Kerrigan's super popular right now. My counterpick, and John, you're going to love this. My counterpick is Artanas.
Oh, wow.
Nice.
He wrecks Kerrigan so hard. Because, you know, we've always talked about, man, Artanas, he doesn't run away. When he's in, he's in. So Kerrigan's got this little combo. She says, come here. And then, you know, it's going to spring a trap on you. But Artanas is like, okay, I'm here already. Like, he's like, yes, I will come join you. And, you know, before, like, he doesn't need an invitation. He's the guest at the party that just shows up whether you want him to or not. And with his DPS build, you can burn through her like crazy. And if you manage to get a prism swap yeah, and a quick twin blade back to her, she can't queue out. It's really good. It's proven to be really effective. And I've been leading on it. You heard it here first. So this isn't a secret tech you're going to find anywhere else. And wow, that's an example of, oh, because Kerrigan's played almost every game that isn't banned.
Yeah.
Now you get to play Artanas all the time. It's a secret buff. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, he's love Artanas.
Anyways, but no one's singing his praises like, oh, he's just so good now. And it's like a scenario where, again, this is where I say it's better to be a bit of a generalist, because sometimes you pick certain, it's not a hero, it's just a hero that's effective against a key strategy versus a team. And once you start learning those secrets, you know, or hearing about them, here, you just heard about it. Have I self-congratulated?
I don't know. If you're getting some sweet exclusivity going on. I like it.
Yep. I would highly recommend a Bruiser Artanas versus Kerrigan instead of trying to like be a super Vala or super Jaina and do it that way. Artanas just laughs in her face. So.
I like the lore of it too. There's something about Artanas going toe to toe with, or I guess blade to blade with the Queen of
Blades.
Yeah. I think that's cool. So. That's if she should have anyone who is her equal or her better, it should be a Protoss dude who's all about righteousness. I think that's awesome. Well, anyway, we'd be curious what you people think. And by you people, I mean people listening. Send us your emails. Tell us what you do when your favorite character gets nerfed. Do you get all pouty about it like me? Or do you do the right thing like Bo and whip out your Artanas and start waving it around?
Well, that's a good way to go.
Yeah.
It's also a good way to go to jail, but it's a good way to go.
I agree. All right, let's talk about the big event stuff today, or at least start to. The Gamescom in Cologne, Germany is happening. I noticed Bo or somebody is trying to get us to call this episode Cologne Blow, which we may do. We'll have to see how things play out. But anyway, Cologne, Germany, Gamescom. Our own Frog Pants' own Terpster is there doing a bunch of video stuff for Blizzard, which is great to see. Always good to see him on there. And the Blizzard or the Heroes team has not let us down. I think there's all kinds of rad stuff coming. Let's talk about the first two things, which are maps. Finally, new maps. And we haven't had a map since, what's the one?
Towers of Doom.
Towers of Doom. Thank you. I always think it's the other Diablo map, but you're right. It's Towers of Doom. But it's still, yeah. That's been a long time. How long since we've had that?
I know it got announced at BlizzCon, so that's the announcement November-ish, maybe January.
Yeah,
like December, January, sometime
like
six
around or seven
there.
Months ago. It's a long time ago. Anyway, the Machines of War event seems to be a new event, which is cool. This kicks it off in September. Two maps are included: the Braxis Holdout, which is a 2-lane map, capture beacons to amass a Zerg army to rush the other base. That sounds great.
I got a question for you guys right now, though. So we don't know a ton about him. We know kind of this byline that is written here. But anybody wonder if Braxis Holdout is new Grave Golem's Golem map, Haunted Mines? That's the word I'm looking for.
Oh, interesting.
It's 2-lane map. It's about building something up to rush the other base. We know that they've been messing with and tinkering with Haunted Mines.
Yeah.
I wonder if this is the result of that or if this is its own separate thing. It's probably a separate thing, but yeah.
It's still an interesting question. Yeah, there. No, I like it as a question. What do you think, Bo?
It looks like Battlefield of Eternity, except there's less going on in the middle. Like the pens, they showed an aerial shot of the map here. Yeah. And so there's like less room in the middle, and then the Zerg pens for both sides. On either side, there's a red and a blue one on each lane that have the Zerg pens that you build up. So it's kind of like those are the immortals. I think you build them up to a certain point and then they get unleashed. Mm-hmm. So I think you'll be duking it out in the middle a lot. Whereas like I think the thing with Haunted Mines was they weren't duking it out in the middle. You were duking it out in the basement. And that just, it just didn't work. I think that sort of underground tech didn't really pan out, with a lot of what Heroes were doing, considering you could put Abathur mines down there, but be on the surface
right, in
some weird way, for example. So, I think it's close. I think it's closer to Battlefield of Eternity perhaps, but, same style, everything on this. Okay. We're going to talk about the other one too, but I am astounded how much this just looks like StarCraft.
Well, it's so good.
It should, right? Like, shouldn't it sort of look like StarCraft? Sure. This is like a hybrid engine of StarCraft's engine. And, you know, I wondered how long it would take, honestly. Ooh. You know what? I haven't actually seen this footage yet. Let me get some audio.
You put up a video.
Don't worry. I'll make this quick.
Yeah, I forgot. You know what I forgot is that Q is the voice of, what's his name?
Alarak.
Larry, yeah. Alarak.
Dark Tannis.
And that's going to bug me because I shook his hand once and it was gross. Anyway, it's not important here. If I would be shocked if the maps coming from the StarCraft team, which is who these people are, right? And also this being a RTS sort of hybrid game, which all MOBAs are really, I'm not shocked at all that it's going to feel very much like a Diablo map, or excuse me, a StarCraft map, much more than the Diablo maps. Those were like, all right, looks like Diablo, but kind of not, because stuff's different here, and all the characters don't exactly look like that. But all the StarCraft stuff in the game, including, you know, Raynor's little flying things for his ult, the alternate to the Empyrean thing, whatever it is.
Hyperion,
what'd I say? Empyrean? I'm thinking of Imperius. Yes. Who am I thinking of? Doesn't matter. All that stuff always looked very StarCrafty to me. And everything that, what's her name, pulls off, Zagara, looks StarCrafty to me. So now that there's like a backdrop for all of that, it's eerily StarCraft. Like, it looks like a mod, like a professional mod for StarCraft, which is kind of cool. Anyway.
I imagine they could pull the mod, like the assets right from, because it's the same engine.
Yeah.
That translation's got to be less so than their other IPs, I imagine.
Her scout uniform thing, skin for Kerrigan is utterly badass.
It's so cool.
What's it called? The Queen of, what'd they call it?
Ghost
Queen, I think.
Ghost Queen?
Yeah.
Queen of Ghosts.
Queen of Ghosts, yeah. Or something. She won't wear her goggles. She refuses. She's like, I'm just going to have my eyes out.
Goggles do nothing.
She's going to wear those up on top. Oh, my gosh. And her giant Ultralisk with the freaking... Oh, shit. I can't wait for this map. I'm so excited about this. All right. Sorry, I'm looking at it as we go here. So let's talk about the other map, Warhead Junction. This is a three-lane map. You gather nuke strikes to use on heroes and buildings. You can hold on to use at will, but drop where you die. So explain how this goes, Bo.
Okay, so few cool things about this map, actually. One is that it's a three-lane map, and they touted it as their largest map yet. So I am intrigued by that fact alone. Largest map. I like large maps.
Yeah.
And yes, you have to channel these. I think you have to get pieces to build your nuke. I don't think you get them right away, although it's not 100% clear. And then once you get a nuke, you get a new the used command card. They use the word command card.
Wow.
So I think they just mean the 1, 2, 3, 4 section is your command card. But the command card is from StarCraft, right? And more like the RTSs, like that little thing. And it made me wonder if there's going to be some new art assets in this map, too.
Yeah.
But basically, you get a button and you can launch the nuke whenever you please. So what can happen in this map is that your team can not blockade, stockade. They can stockpile. They can stockpile nukes.
Yeah.
And, you know, use them in coordinated fashion to nuke the team. Like, you can do whatever you want with them, probably to nuke structures, but you can also nuke opponents as well. And if you get killed, you drop the nuke and someone else can pick it up. And it immediately made me think of like Duck Game, you know, and
oh, that's great.
Weapons and stuff.
I love that. It's reminded you of Duck Game. That's the best thing you could have said to me. All right.
I was like, so people are going to be holding on to the nukes. Maybe they'll fire them. Maybe they won't. You don't know. And it'll be interesting to see. Like, this is a whole new layer of mechanic in that, like, the Punisher and the Immortal and even, to some extent, the Dragon Knight and Garden Terror, you don't have that much agency. You got to do one thing with them. Either they're controlled or not. You're pushing in the lane.
Right.
This is like this weird tactical thing. It's just another weapon, another nuke. It's just cool. I don't even know how it's going to play out. But I'm very excited, that being the main focus.
But everybody can control, anyone can control the ones they're carrying. In other words, if John has one and I have one, we do it with them what we want. We blow up whatever structure we want. Okay.
All right. I imagine you could even shoot your own core.
Yeah.
It's going to be intimidating, too, because you're going to go into a fight and it's like, oh, they got nukes. Should we be aggressive? Do we think we're going to use it? Should we ambush them and steal the nukes? Yeah. Like, what do you do? It's going to add a really interesting dynamic that you can't plan for in the game. You know, you can plan for an immortal spawn, but you can't plan for, well, the other team has a nuke and we don't. What the heck are we going to do?
Yeah. I can't believe there are two maps coming. The event starts in, well, I guess this is a lot like the Diablo event, isn't it? It really is. Like, literally, there's two maps. There are a number of characters, which one of them is not StarCraft related. We'll get to that in a second. That's the only weird bit, right? These aren't multiple StarCraft characters being released. Maybe they're to the point they don't have to do that anymore. But let's talk about those heroes. Alarak, a.k.a. Tassadark or Dark Tannis. You choose. He's a Protoss. Looks assassin. We don't know yet. That hasn't been confirmed yet, has it? I don't think so.
Oh, yeah. They said it in the developer interview.
Oh, okay.
But in the developer interview, they said melee assassin.
Okay.
I couldn't remember when I typed it, so I was not in a position to watch the announcement again when I wrote this. But yeah, all of his abilities are pretty straightforward damage, so I couldn't imagine him being anything else.
John DeLancey voicing the character like he did in the final third of StarCraft II. That's exciting.
The secret to defeating him, you let his daughter die, and then he kills himself off screen later.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And then there a plane crashes as a result, and there's like a floating doll or something, or a stuffed animal or something. I don't remember how that went.
That's the win condition on the Albuquerque map.
The new Albuquerque map. What's the wait? We need to design this. Hold on. For fairness, I should probably play something to note this.
Okay.
All right. Well, on the Albuquerque map, what is the map objectives?
You have to raise John DeLancey's stress meter to a certain level.
Oh my gosh. All right, I love this already.
So Breaking Bad mode, are we gonna see that, you think?
I hope so. Wouldn't that be great? I love the idea.
Yo, I got a sick Walter White. Yeah. I got a level 10 Walter White.
Yeah. I don't know why this game doesn't already have a couple of skins that are like Walter and Jesse. Like, I don't know.
Maybe the drug thing.
Morales, yeah. Maybe. She could. Oh, yeah, good point. There's probably references there that would get him in trouble. It's a good point.
Morales with a shaved head and goatee.
I'm the one.
Would it be like Walter Greymane or something?
Walter Greymane. By the way, Greymane getting some pretty sweet stage time on the Warcraft stuff. His role in the in-game cinematics as you're storming Broken Shore are memorable. He's awesome. I kind of have new respect for Gilneas Pete that I didn't used to have.
I don't remember. Is his default skin a white wolf?
No.
Did that carry over? Did that kind of... They're not connected.
Or are they trying to get you to buy a skin or level him to get the white version of it? Like
he has a tint. He has a tint. Okay, that turns you white.
All right. Well, in the Broken Shore thing, he's white, like white fur. And there's this wonderful moment I talked about in the instance. I think I should just mention it here because I loved it. And I could watch it over and over. And it's super subtle. And that the in-game cinematics team over there are just freaking killing it right now. And there's this scene where they hit the beach. And King Varian Wrynn needs to tell Greymane that we got to do something. So he goes, Gen! He has to say it twice. He has to like yell twice because Gen Greymane is over there eating the hell out of whatever the hell he's eating. He's just gouging and killing and biting some poor victim. It was probably a demon. But he can't be bothered to hear his king the first time. He has to hear him say it the second time. And there's just something about him interrupting his attack that just made my day. And he's just a badass in it. So for real, though, Greymane went up in my like lore ticker because of that short clip. It was great.
Yeah, he's awesome. Pretty darn cool. Yeah. And that's what I wonder. I wonder when we're going to start getting some lore connected skins.
Yeah,
because we've had a lot of characters in this game that have gone through lore changes and their skins don't necessarily reflect that. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's silver hair Angry Jaina, there's buzz cut Artanis.
Yep.
That's a nice way to say it without spoilers.
Yeah. And, nicely done. Very deftly done.
Greymane got a haircut and is now a white dog instead of whatever he is currently by default. Yeah. I'm just curious if they're ever going to go that route. They seem to go fun directions with skins, but you know, there's some lore ways. Oh, and Lady Diablo.
Will there ever be? Oh yeah, that's true. But from the very beginning, we were supposed to get her. What about is there one of Tychus where he's just laying there limp? You have to just
with a big hole in his head.
Yeah, just moving his suit around, kind of flopping around like the Octopus Dad game thing that I played a while back. Anyway.
Oh, Jimmy.
Jimmy, he shot me in the head, Jimmy. All right, what are we doing? Oh, yeah, that's a spoiler if you haven't played StarCraft.
Alarak.
Alarak, a.k.a. Tassadark. So he's looking badass. He looks cool. We think Assassin. Well, we know Assassin now, I guess, been confirmed. He is super cool. I never got as far in that campaign on StarCraft as I wanted, so I don't really know what his ultimate role was. I assume he's sort of a bad guy in there or something. Or is he a good guy? Yeah. I don't know.
I don't remember it at all. I still haven't played the Void campaign, which I'd like to, but it's on my to-do list.
I would too.
I'm like, who's this Alarak guy? Okay, yeah. I'll take him.
He looks really cool. I heard he was the standout character in that, but I haven't gotten past seeing him as a, you know, in a kind of anti-hero type role.
Mm-hmm.
He's definitely antagonistic, but helping the good guys where I am. But, you know, this is Blizzard, so I wouldn't be surprised if there's a turn somewhere in there.
Yeah, one that you can see coming from a little ways away, so... Anyway, it'll be good to have him in there. Kind of excited to see what he turns out to be. None of his abilities on this Stinger reel looked all that exciting to me. They all looked kind of standard. I might be looking at that through the eyes of a guy who was on a podcast with Bo last week where Bo talked about Blizzard playing it safe with abilities a little bit. And, yeah. You know, we talked a bunch and we've had a lot of feedback about this, but a bunch about the idea that they maybe have to do that for the kind of game that this is or whatever. But that leads us to the next character who's coming. One who we had hoped would be able to break free of the shackles of her origin game and do things that she doesn't do there. Well, I hate to disappoint you, everybody, Or maybe you're thrilled. I don't really have a feeling about it either way, but I know that this was a concern Bo had and we talked about it. So now we can really talk about it. Zarya from Overwatch is coming to the game, and she appears to be, like Tracer, able to just do all the shit she does in Overwatch.
Gobel of a Tobelstein. Oh, she better yell that.
Now she's got a reverse Tobelstein.
Yeah, that's true. She has a repelling Tobelstein, which is cool. Yeah,
the Tobel East it.
But for the most...
And we don't know. So there's another thing, and this applies to Alarak as well. We don't know what their traits are going to be.
No.
And sometimes the trait defines what the character is going, you know, what their flavor is going to be.
Yeah.
And we still don't know what that is for Alarak. We don't know what that is for Zarya. Her kit does look a lot like her Overwatch kit, but I actually think that if you look at the Overwatch kits and what you can bring into heroes, hers is another one where I would say, oh yeah, I would hope that they would keep it very similar when they bring her over.
Yeah.
It's maybe characters like Reaper, where there's already an analog like Vala,
yeah,
that does similar things, where I'd be like, hey, maybe change it up a little bit.
But I remember we talked about this and we thought that there was no way they'd ever bring her over, or she certainly wouldn't be first, and maybe a skin instead, because Tychus is very similar. And he is. He's way similar. He's carrying a big gun down like he's carrying a Gatling gun, so there's even just the look of the way they're going to stand there. Secondly, the short-range weapon she has is equivalent to his chain gun. She doesn't have like a zip forward and zip back kind of thing, but her grenade is, you know, a lot like his grenade. It's a little more usable, a little more refreshed, but she's kind of Tychus, or at least that's my worry. I don't know. I mean, all we have is this video.
Silhouette, maybe, but you're going to look at her and be like, yeah, Zarya, whereas you look at Tychus and you're just like, what a dirtbag.
I'm glad they picked Zarya. Zarya is up there with, I think, one of my favorite Overwatch heroes. I'm willing to be like, all right, let's take a second go of this whole Overwatch translation.
Yeah.
Because Zarya is way cooler than Tracer by a mile. In my books, this is all subjective, folks.
Sure.
But I like Zarya quite a bit. So
hold on, let me turn on my translator. We'll see. Let me see this. Translator, what did you hear Bo say just now?
I like big Russian women.
All right. I just wanted to check.
That's what I heard by default.
I just wanted to check. It's fine. Continue.
Yep. Yeah. So,
are you disappointed, Bo, at all that they didn't try to change the kit up based on who she is?
On the surface, yes. But we only have had one Overwatch hero. Let me see it on a second hero and see if I still feel the same.
Okay.
It may be a Tracer-specific thing. Yeah. Tracer just may not be a kit I like. And I'm willing to, I was very staunchly against this kind of design, but it looks like, I think that's what we're going to get, whether we like it or not. And honestly, it doesn't make sense, but we'll see. So okay. I'm holding up judgment because it's someone cool like Zarya and not, I don't know. It isn't, I kind of don't want like the big guy, like, the ones you would think they'd bring over, right? Like who are like D.Va? D.Va is like one of the most popular ones. I like the hipster Overwatch characters. I think Zarya is a hipster.
I like her a lot. Yeah. Her Zenyatta. Yeah. I wouldn't mind seeing like, I don't know. I can't think of who else. I actually kind of like the idea of a sniper healer in a weird way.
Ana. I was going to say Ana would be really great. And how funny would it be if they immediately then gave her a Widowmaker skin too?
I would laugh so hard. They could do it.
By the way, I don't mean to interrupt, but there's one thing that we passed over that I feel needs mentioning. It's the best part. And it was on Alarak.
Mm.
He's got that Counter-Strike move. And I don't know if you heard it, but he laughs at his opponent very audibly when he casts it.
And
I really like moves like that. He just goes, ha ha ha.
Is it in this video? Because I can jump to it. Let's see.
I think so, but
Is he when he's fighting Kerrigan?
I think it's in the in development where they show all of his abilities. I don't know if it's the Kerrigan trailer. Well, I don't think it's in the Kerrigan trailer.
Let's find out real quick. I'm going to do this with audio, folks at home. You guys can see it.
Hero arrival.
The Queen of Blades. This should be fun. Don't worry. I'll make this quick.
I don't think it's in that.
It's not in this.
It's having fun yet.
Dude.
Yeah, it's in the in development video. They show all the abilities and how they work, you know, as they do.
Yeah.
And the Counter Strike, one of his I believe it's an ultimate. He does just sits there and takes damage, I think, and reflects it back to the opponent.
Yeah.
But he does a when you push the button that I'm looking forward to doing to other people.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's
Do you think though? Okay, Blizzard's famous for little Easter eggs and weird little references, right? Yeah. They gotta put some Star Trek Q reference in there. They have to. Probably. They have to. Oh, I don't know what
it
would be.
They could give him a Q skin, like in his head when he's mocking Picard.
You mean like his like from whatever at Starpoint, like the pilot where he's in the big judge uniform with the hat and everything? That'd be amazing.
Yeah, Encounter at Farpoint, the season premiere or the series premiere.
I've been playing a game called Starpoint Gemini, so I gotta stop playing other games. But yeah, that's awesome. I love that idea. You have to do it. You have to make a mention of it. Either that or make him real cheap about an extra dollar it costs to get a signed photograph at a Star Trek convention in Vegas 2 years ago. That'd be a fine skin.
Does anyone have any hand lotion? My hands are dry.
He had the driest hand. It was like holding a brick. It was the weirdest thing I ever did.
It's a secret ult. He just rubs his hand across your face.
And I had $1 missing from this $40 it cost to get a picture of Q, and he wouldn't do it. $1. Bastard. Anyway, let's forget about all my personal misgivings with Q, and we'll move on. Zarya, okay, so we talked about her. She looks great. She seems, I don't know, that seems like a character I want to get. And that seemed like a trailer that if they just showed that at BlizzCon, people would have lost their minds. Maybe they did there, too. But seeing her pop in at the end would have made, that's like one of those things Blizzard does at BlizzCon to make the crowd lose their freaking minds. I could totally see that.
Yeah.
Which begs the question, we may not want to talk about it today, maybe next week, good topic, but what are they holding for BlizzCon? Like, we should start predicting. Because if this is their next big event that runs through that time period, I don't know what they show at BlizzCon.
Because I'm actually in that interview, they said the two StarCraft, they learned from Eternal Conflict, that the conflict event was kind of eternal in our eyes, that they're releasing the maps really close back to back. Like, we're going to get one, I think, in about 3 weeks, and the other one shortly thereafter. So with Eternal Conflict, we waited an eternity for Infernal Shrines, and it sounds like that won't be the case this time.
Yeah, and both heroes are in September, I believe. So this is only getting us through next month.
Right. So maybe this is, it's easy to have it be a little overblown because they're making big videos about it and stuff, and there's an event to announce it at, but really this is kind of on par with their normal release schedule outside of the maps. The maps are the only real wild card here, so... Anyway, September is going to be a good month. That's all I know. I'm excited about all that. Some new skins are coming. Master skins for Alarak and Zarya. Squidman Alarak. Except he's not called that. He's called...
Something of Nazoth.
It's some kind of like... isn't it a reference to like... what's that guy's books?
The Cthulhu stuff.
Stuff. Yeah. Isn't that what that is?
Yeah, it kind of looks like that, you know, so... crazy, it'll make you insane looking upon it kind of monster, right?
Yeah.
Like the faceless ones.
Yeah.
Lots of squid tentacles, and he looks cool. I mean, it's pattern after kind of like the old god sort of stuff.
What's
and,
his name, though? Who's the author? Who makes those books?
Oh, H.P. Lovecraft.
Lovecraft. Jeez. World of Lovecraft. Boost your character to 100.
There you go.
All right. So we got Squidman, we got Thunder Goddess Zarya. She looks badass. In fact, I would argue the two skins they're showing that are alternates for her already are better than any of her skins outside of the Olympics one that are currently in Overwatch. So
yeah, the Olympics one's rad.
It's but real good.
I like both of these. They're super cool.
They're real good. Kerrigan's legendary Ghost Queen skin is cool. Really cool, I think. I think I would play her more wearing that for some reason. That really appeals to me. The Butcherilisk is
oh my god!
Awesome.
This actually had me laughing. It looks like somebody just did a lot of drugs and was like, "I got the idea," and started scribbling down this disgusting thing.
Yeah.
It looks almost obscene. Like it looks like it requires sensor bars over parts of it. It's so rough.
Yeah.
But not even obscene. Like, yes, it's gross, but I think even Zerg would find this obscene.
Oh yeah. You'd look at that and go, oh no, it's a giant vagina with blades. What are we going to do? It's scary.
I agree. Even the Zerg would look at him and go, we've hit an evolutionary problem. Someone get Abathur in here.
Yeah.
This needs to be patched real quick.
Abathur, come fix this. Clean this up. Okay, he'd say. Butcherilisk. I think I want to own that. I don't know. It's just a nightmare coming down the lane at you, and it's pretty cool. The Marine Rexxar is pretty good. It's just like Rexxar got stuck in a time machine and ended up in the future and put on a bunch of armor and is bare too. It's kind of great.
He looks like a He-Man character.
He does look like a He-Man guy.
And then you got a new mount. It is the Ghost Bike, aka their version of a light cycle. Very Tron-y. Yeah,
it's basically a light cycle from Tron.
A lot of Tron.
It looks amazing.
It's super cool.
It looks so cool.
It does a wheelie when you leave, when you get on it for the first time and take off. It looks like anyway, which is
super cool, but it's still continues this weird problem I have with mounts, especially fast looking mounts in Heroes, is the mount speed is great. And I love mounts and I will never say a bad thing about having mounts in this game, but the max speed on these things is not that high.
Yeah.
So you get on these cool looking like rockets and stuff like that. And even this one, it does a wheelie and then it just kind of putters forward at a real mellow golf cart kind of pace.
Yeah.
It's a fast moped.
Also, the Hero site.
Fastest moped on the planet.
Hero site, autoplayed video. I did not mean that to happen. All right, let's see what else we got. Oh, we talked about the new mount. All right, Bo, you have a complaint.
Sure, real quickly.
Yeah.
Everything about today's announcements was amazing. And there was one little thing that bothered me in their little interview video.
Yeah.
Is they kept cutting to zoom-ins of people's face, of the folks' faces. And I have their names here because I think K.O. Milker, and Travis McGathy, they seem like fun guys. They're really awesome. Love that they did this interview. But I didn't need to see zoom-ins on their face while the exciting interview was happening with epic music. Not that there was anything wrong with their faces. It just felt like overproduction. So
I like that as you said that, Scott put a nice zoom-in of your face up on the stream.
It wasn't anymore.
Really emphasize your point there, Bo. Here's a zoom-in of you.
Oh, the irony is killing my soul now.
So wait, I'm trying to get a good example of this up on the stream. This would have been like when they were sitting around a table talking about it kind of thing.
Well, it's with the interview with Tracer. They did an interview with Tracer.
Oh, okay. I don't have that.
Hang on. I'll give you the link so you can see. And, you know, I might have to let it run a little bit and then eventually you'll see it. But
oh my gosh,
I didn't enjoy it.
This is such a StarCraft map, by the way. I'm just looking at the map up close to the maps and like the where they're killing what do you call them? So where they're killing creeps or not creeps, bosses and mobs and stuff and mercs. It's just you're
head to toe StarCraft. It's not like they have some general Nexus assets. Like literally every inch of screen looks like StarCraft assets.
It looks like you're playing a different game at this point. It's shocking.
Yep.
But really, really cool at the same time.
Yeah, I like it.
Not
a
bad shocking.
No,
a good shock.
It's a good shock. Shock you right in the good place, if you know what I'm saying, if you know where I'm coming from there. All right, well, no more zoom-ins, developer face people. Don't do that. Season one's going to last longer. I swear I could almost hear Bo scream for joy when it was announced that they were going to extend season one by, 2 weeks? How long?
It's till September 13th. That might actually even be 3 weeks.
So
1, 2, 3. No, that's 4 weeks from today.
Their tweet said, we heard you. We're extending season one, blah, blah, blah. And all I could think of was, oh my gosh, Bo can breathe a little easier because you guys were scrambling.
I literally read that as they were talking to me on the podcast. I was like, we heard you. And I'm like, yes.
We heard you, Bo.
They listened to Core and they heard me say something.
This might mean
it was a lot of people, actually.
Does this mean that they're going to, I mean, it sounds like these will just be longer now. Seasons will be. Don't you think?
Yeah. I think on a going forward basis, they're looking at 3 months, although I imagine we'll hear something a little more official as we get closer to the next season. So,
yeah. Are you going to make it? Do you think gives you the time you want to get where you want to be?
I kind of hit another little snag. As you know, I qualified for Diamond 5 6 or 7 times, but I finally made it up to Diamond 3 and I'm on my 4th qualification for Diamond 2. So you just hit these little road bumps that are like skill checks where I feel like I have to do like go to Jedi temples and learn to be a Jedi. You know, I have to face my fears and not be afraid of them. And then. So I think I was feeling the pressure because next Tuesday would have been the end. And I was like, the longest mile is the last mile. And now there's a sense of relief here. I literally played every day this weekend for 8 hours.
I saw you on. Every time I checked anything to do with anything I'm with my computer, I just glance over a BattleNet and there was Bo in Hero League.
Yep.
Killing it. Yep. Signed a couple of quick matches. And even then I went, oh, well, that's just him trying out some new strategy for when he's back in Hero League an hour from now or whatever.
Probably leveling up Oriole so I can play her in Hero League. Turns out she's pretty pretty good.
I like her a lot. She's pretty good. We'll see her tonight some, I think, when we play later. Yeah. Well, I guess we'll see if Dan's willing to let her come to me for a game anyway. So also, I guess we're getting individual performance recognition awards or rewards or highlights or something's coming. Sounds like a big engine overhaul to me, because previous to this, this game can't really handle that sort of thing. But what do you think that means? Are we going to get full-on replays or what?
It was very short what they said in the video, and I didn't find any other further explanation. Maybe that'll come. But it sounded like you'd get call-outs. So if you're an MVP in some category, then they'd let you know. I don't know if that means you were top hero damage. Here's a star. I am not quite sure what that means, because we can already tell when we've topped something by just doing a sort filter on the stats screen at the end. But maybe there might be some extra gold. Like, I know in Overwatch, there are certain things you can do. Like, you get friend bonuses, you get, if you get a gold medal, you get an XP bonus, for example.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think there could, it was hard to tell whether they meant rewards as in rewards the way as video game players know rewards, and give me the experience points,
right?
Or if they meant like rewards, like here's a star, that's your reward. So
your star is, or your reward is, you are a special snowflake. Look at this gold star on this screen for 5 seconds.
Put your head up on it, see if you can force it on your forehead. That's a great idea. No, I think I hope it's what you say with XP and stuff. I mean, I hope that that's possible, but I'm also kind of cool with like a play of the game. I think that sounds like fun. I would love to know after a 30-minute game what it considers a play of the game and how it awards it. And maybe it isn't just by player. Maybe it's by team. Maybe it's just, well, red team had the best team wipe, or blue team killed it with like this one moment of getting, I don't know, the golem to do something or whatever. I don't know what it is. But it doesn't seem like they can just say, oh, here's a play of the game where Scott threw a frost bolt at the last second and finished off that murky. Or maybe they can, I don't know. I mean, I'm only comparing this, I guess, to Overwatch, but yeah.
Judging by the kind of, and also level in which they said it during the interview, maybe they aren't entirely sure at this point either, because it really was, they were wrapping up the interview and it's like, all right, guys, well, have a good Gamescom. Also, we're thinking about adding recognition for performance.
Okay, gotta go.
that was kind of it.
Yep, we're out. Drop the mic.
we might not get the things in our wildest dreams that we might imagine, but you know, I trust senior game designer Travis McGathy, and that he'll deliver something pretty awesome because he seems stoked about it. So
okay,
I'm looking forward to whatever it's gonna be.
All right, I got a question.
They zoomed in rewards on his face, so it's got to be epic. If they zoom in on the face.
So John, John, I'm gonna ask you a very personal question. Well, not that personal, but. There are rumors floating around this announcement that Machines of War, the event, and therefore content within the event, could be sold as a bundle and could be sold early. And that might be how you get it ahead of everyone else. How do you feel about that idea? It's purely a rumor at this point. Like, they've not confirmed this, but it sounds like almost like buying an adventure in Hearthstone in a way. Where's your head at with that?
Yeah, so this is coming from, there's been some information coming out suggesting possible release dates of content, what all the content's going to be. And one of the things that was included on this list was what was called a Machines of War bundle. And so, you know, we can read a lot into that and we can try and figure out what that might be. To me, the thought, and we had talked about this idea on the show before, was what if when they do events, they sold you pay up front. You know, it's not all the content's going to be out right away, but you pay up front. You say, I know I'm all in for this event. Right. I want all the things. And you get a discounted price from what you will ultimately pay throughout the course of the event. But you get everything as it comes out. You just have it unlocked. You don't have to buy it from week to week. You just get it as it comes out. And you get a discounted price for kind of buying in bulk all up front.
Excluding maps, of course, right? Because maps are just, you can't do that or else nobody's playing with you. You just have a map with nobody.
Right. Maps are free. So this would be, you know, your two heroes, the skins, and the mount, basically, is what it would amount to. Right. And I think that's kind of a cool idea. I think it's kind of a cool way to release their content. Especially if the discount is significant, I would also say, because it's kind of a worthless thing, throw in a stim pack that will last the duration of the event, whatever that's expected to be. If it's a month or two, just say, hey, and you get a stim pack for the duration of it, on top of it. I think that's a cool way to do content. I mean, we've all kind of said we wish all the heroes were free, but in a world where that's not the case, I think kind of doing mini expansions and stuff like that that you can buy into at a cheaper rate is a cool idea.
Bo, you want bundles like that?
Yeah, I think this is great. I'm all for the buy in advance subscription bundle. I like this.
I think I like it too. Even in the cases where I'm not as interested, well then fine, I can do it the other way, you know? Like it's just, it's an option to save a little bit of money up front, get a little bonus XP or whatever. And if I don't want it, I don't want it. I think that's a great idea. Why not?
And keep in mind, giving out this content, even if it's a limited time offer that they have this, if it is that way, because it could just be Sergeant Hammer and any other machine related thing already in the game.
Right.
But it's coming September 13th. So I think that lends a bit of credence to John's guess. Hopefully it is that. I think when you see other people with awesome skins in the game, it's kind of in-game advertising, right? Like sometimes you're like, I don't need that skin. And then you play a game and see how awesome the skin looks. And you're like, maybe I want that skin. Yeah. So giving it to early adopters sooner populates the early adopters with it. And other people get to see it and maybe feel like they're left out. And they buy it too because they realize how much they like it.
Doesn't seem like it has a bad side to it. I kind of like it. Chat room.
Yeah, tends to work out in their favor too, because if you think about it, it's very possible that you say, oh, I'm all in on this pack, I'm super excited and stoked, and you buy it, where they're releasing it piecemeal, you get it and you go, oh, I love that Raider Rexar skin, but I never play him, maybe I shouldn't buy that, and you skip that one, you know, that's Blizzard, you know, potentially losing out on money they could get you for if you buy it all up front in a bundle.
Yeah. Oh, some people are going to hate hearing that. But yes, you're right about that. Like, it seems better for them. And since they don't offer refunds on any of this stuff, I would rather pay less up front than piecemeal and have a worse deal and still end up with stuff I didn't want. I don't know. It's a hard call. The whole thing's hard.
And I know people get real mad about price and money and stuff like that in this game. Just remember that your money does support this content, and I have to remind myself of this as well, because I can also fall under the man, they're charging too much for stuff. But you know, I don't think it's bad to want Blizzard to turn a profit on heroes. I know that we all don't want to feel nickel and dimed when it comes to content, but at the same time, I think we also want the game to succeed, and it succeeds on the back of us giving them money for the content and work they put into the game.
Yep. So bring it out early, Blizzard. We're here to buy it. Oh my gosh, you guys, listen to this. It's time for Next Jeopardy. What is that? You have your dice again. Oh no, we're screwed.
I got my dice already. It's time for dice.
Oh man.
Next Jeopardy. Next Jeopardy. With your host, Gorath Trubek.
Anyone who hates this segment can skip forward or leave the show now. All right, Bo.
All right.
You know, explain the rules. You're the leader here.
Yep, so Jeopardy has landed in the Nexus, and we perform this game show in the Nexus style. It's called Next Jeopardy. The rules are, it's like Jeopardy. Look them up. We're not going over them yet again. Also, remember, folks, patch 2.0 dropped for Next Jeopardy. We got loot boxes that can affect the way the game is played. Are you guys ready?
Yeah. All right, John, are you ready? You have to say if you're ready in an orc voice.
Yes, the orc voice thing still going.
Yeah, is that?
It doesn't, no. You don't have all. You have no items, so it's all fresh.
What was it? A mild orc voice?
I am ready.
So there are three categories. All right, category number one, an old favorite. Ready up already.
Okay.
The answers are hero names. The second category is name that huzzah heroic.
Okay.
And the answers are they're the heroic names, right?
Right.
And the last one is Machines of War, and that is StarCraft related trivia. The answers are StarCraft units. Uh-oh.
So for the record, that's Machines of War, not Machines of War, right? I just want to make sure I got that right.
I was trying to do that in that like Trey Parker kind of voice when he's doing the old broadcasts or whatever.
Oh, okay. All right.
Machines of War.
Okay, I got it.
There you go. You do it way better.
All right.
But I'm the host, so you got to like my stuff more just because that's the rules.
All right.
Let's roll the dice. See who goes first. Oops, I gotta ask, who wants higher or lower?
John, you pick this time.
I'll be higher.
I'll be lower.
All right.
Really way higher.
All right, Scott, you got control of the board.
Oh, was it lower then? I guess it was.
Yep, it was 20. So 100 gets you $100 on a loot box, and there's a secret loot cache with one for each of you before the question gets read.
Let's do name that Huzzah-roic for 100, please.
All right. This knocks enemies away.
Oh, it knocks? Oh.
John.
What is gust? Mighty gust?
Not quite the tooltip, so incorrect.
Dang it.
Okay.
Scott, you should know this one.
I can try to steal?
Yep, you can pick it.
Knocks people away.
Hold on. How much time do I have?
Let's say 6 seconds.
Shit. And you see, I should know this one. It's really going to poop me out when I figure out that I don't know it. I can't think of it.
All right, that's fine. What is Haymaker?
Oh, frick!
That's what the tooltip says in the game. What is
Haymaker? Known it was Haymaker.
That's fine. All right,
I didn't even control the alarm me, though, but Gust also knocks players
Yeah,
away.
But it's see, Gust is like wind. It blows you away. Haymaker makes like bowling pin noises, right?
It also slows.
Yeah. Plus, all you get bowling pin noises when you do the other one. It's more like a knock.
Didn't Scott get a loot box?
Nope, nobody answered it right, so no loot box. You got to get the 100.
Right. Okay. Yep.
And I don't lose that money, only he did. He's negative 100, right?
That's right.
Okay.
Scott, you're still in control.
Oh, I am? All right. am I, though? Am I? Category one, let's do ready up already for 100, please.
Let the games begin.
I feel like I would have known this if he didn't do the voice. This is one where the voice actually
All right. Okay, I got it. I got it.
Yeah, Scott.
Who is Zool?
Incorrect.
Oh, frick.
Zool's is it is time for heroin.
Weird. The voice is exactly the same though.
It is time for heroin.
It's heroin Herbert.
Heroin Herbert. Right. Yeah. Okay. I don't know, John.
Nothing for let the games begin, John.
No, because I'm not going to lose any more money.
The games? All right, who is Medivh?
That's right.
Gosh, I knew it was in someone like him.
All right, well, you're both
the lowest scoring game ever, and there will be no loot boxes.
That's right.
That's right. I thought I put the easy ones early. All right, Scott, you're still in control.
All right, let's do machines. Let's throw the caution to the wind. Machines of War for 100, please.
He's in the rear with the gear. Scott.
Who is Tychus?
StarCraft units.
Oh, these are units? Sorry, I misunderstood. In the rear with the gear is... Who is the siege tank?
No, incorrect.
Damn it!
Siege tank is not in the rear with the gear.
Rear with the gear. Oh my gosh, what is that?
He's in the rear with the gear. I saw some of these in the Machines of War content.
I know what it is. It's your little crystal gatherers, the RVs.
Oh,
but
oh.
I don't. What are they called?
Oh well, that's on you. Don't tell them, chat room. It's on Vermont John. I know what they are.
This is the problem. This Bo, I'm gonna give you a free tip for future next Nexepredies. Scott and I are the worst at names ever.
I know, that's what makes
us
great.
Absolute worst.
Yeah, that's true.
Also, that's why some if you're listening and you're a prominent member of the community, maybe we'd like to invite you on to show up, Scott and John. So
it's in the chat, but I'm not going to say it because that'd be unfair.
I know what it is.
What is an SCV? What is an SCV? That's his little thing. When you click on him, he goes, I'm in the rear with the gear.
I thought it was a fighting unit. I don't know why.
That is one of the most dirtiest innuendo things in all of the StarCraft game.
Oh, for sure, dude. For sure.
My mind goes to the gutter. All right, Scott, you're still in control of the board. This might be a loot boxless game. Who knows?
I'm down 200 negative right now.
Yep.
Shit. All right.
You can earn that back with one right answer.
Machines of War 200.
All right, this is a long one, so settle yours.
Settle in. Okay.
Okay, so this machine is remodeled on the Firebat and packs quad K-12 Punisher grenade launch. Scott.
Who is the Marauder?
Oh, you got it. Boom. Back to zero. Nicely done.
That was
all right.
Impressive. I'm impressed.
Scott, you're still in control of the board.
All right. So that puts me at zero. That's good.
Yeah.
Machines of War for 300. We'll finish that one out.
All right, based on siege tank tech, this machine is designed to be the ultimate anti-air and ground support weapon system Although finding pilots who... John?
What is a Viking?
You got it.
Damn it!
Yes! Yes! Damn it. I'm back in the game!
So it's 100, yep. 0 to 100.
John went from negative 100 to 200.
Oh, 200.
Very valuable question.
All right,
John, you're in control of the board now.
I'll do ready up already for 200.
Oh, loot cash. You both get a loot box.
Bling, 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 bling.
All right, do you guys want to open your loot boxes?
Yep.
Yeah.
All right, John gets to open his first because he picked the question.
I open it.
You rolled a 78. That means you've got yourself an SCV.
So what? Does he have to put his gear in the rear or what? What is
it? Yeah, you earned an SCV. So your SCV collects 10 minerals every minute for the rest of the game. I've written down the time as 10:06.
But what does he get for that? Okay, go ahead.
At the end, you can sell the minerals for $1 per mineral. your SCVs can't be vendored in the way other items can, and it's considered a companion for the purpose of rules.
What I'm understanding, if I'm understanding what you're saying exactly, is that my goal going forward at this point in the game, as of right now, should be to go counter to what I normally would do for this segment and try to slow it down as much as humanly possible. Because every extra minute, if I understand you correctly, is going to be beneficial to me, the player.
Yeah.
I can't give you strategy advice. I have to be an impartial observer.
Yeah. I'm glad you let him explain it that whole time so a minute could go by, which was kind of, I think, his idea was. All right.
Great theory.
All right.
All right. Scott, let's see what you got. Hopefully it's nothing too cracking, something awesome.
This is hilarious.
Oh, you got a legendary. Boom.
Oh, sweet.
It's 95. Yep. All right. What does a 95 give you? You got a loot pinata. Oh, my God. Loot pinata.
All right. What does that do for me?
You both immediately earn $1,000,000.
What? Are you kidding? Is that really? That's not what it is.
Yeah, both players get $1,000,000.
Well, isn't that like getting nothing? How's that a legendary?
Well, it's the Nexus. Weird things happen here.
Yeah, so I guess so.
Now, John, you're at $1,200,000, and Scott's at $1,000,000 even.
Wow.
All right.
That's the worst legendary loot box I've ever gotten.
That's like that priest card everybody's mad about in Hearthstone.
Yeah, that sounds right.
All right. Okay. Wait, did I write any other rules here on the loot pinata? Oh, you also get a loot box, Scott, with a guaranteed epic inside.
Oh.
How about that?
Okay, roll that.
I forgot the little rule.
Okay.
That's like a made-up rule, but look.
No, it's here. It's on the paper. All right. You got verdant spheres.
Oh.
They're the little Kel'thas things.
Yeah, Kel'thas balls. Yeah.
So when you activate these, the next question you answer earns you double the reward, both positive or negative.
And I can do it after I've answered it?
You got to do it. Oh, yeah, you can do it after you've answered it, so long as I haven't confirmed whether or not the question is correct or not.
Oh, okay, so I can't say, here's the answer, and you go, that is correct, and then I go, oh, and I'm using my verdant spheres. I have to use them before I know if it was right or not. All right, just making sure. I don't want to screw that up. All right.
And it helps if you yell Asha Lenoria when you light them up, but you don't have to.
Oh, he's such a dick, though. He's such a dick, Kel'thas.
All right, so John, now that we've settled on the loot box situation, you have that question that you, it's 200 for name that huzzah heroic. All right.
No, it was for ready up already.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
All right. Well, whatever. It still applies.
You've all lost your loot boxes. Forget everything that happened for the past couple of minutes.
It's fine. All right. So here it goes. You ready?
Yep.
Yeah.
Logical decision.
Wait, what category is this? Beep.
Ready up already.
Oh, I know
beep,
this.
Beep, 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 beep.
And yep, go.
Who is Abathur?
You're correct.
That is so lame. I wasn't paying attention. I didn't realize it was ready up. I should have just said it and hoped for the best because I would have gotten it right. I could have beeped sooner too. Dang it.
I'll try to be clear.
I beeped 100 times.
That one's so easy.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. So, John, you're still in control of the board.
Let's finish this category. Ready up already for 300.
Scott,
who is the butcher?
You got it.
Wow.
Yeah, wow. It's a different. I was worried this would be confused with Diablo. So
well, that's why
sure.
I knew it wasn't, because we've done him in this category in previous weeks. So I figured you weren't going to double up on it. So it was a safe guess, but a guess. But it was between those two. Let's put it that way.
All right, Scott, you have control of the board now. You're behind by 100.
What do we have left? Name that huzzah. or the
yeah, name that Huzzaroic for 200 and 300
Let's
left.
Let's do 200.
All right. This empowers your creepiness and gives you worms.
What?
It empowers your creepiness and gives you worms.
I don't like the way you emphasize that word.
Scott.
What is Zagara's ultimate called Nidus Canal? What is Nidus Canal? Nidus Network. Man. What is Nidus Network?
Okay, fine. The judges give it to you. All right, got it.
Thank you.
You said the network. Yeah. Canal was incorrect. But all right. It's now 1,500,000 to 1,400,000
okay.
In favor of Scott, and you got control of the board. The last question is for 300. Yes. Name that Huzzaroic.
All right. Better hope those SUVs are working away over there for you, John.
Here it goes. Get your buzzers nice and warm.
All right.
Don't forget, you could have activated your Verdant Spheres.
Oh, shit.
I know.
Okay, go ahead.
All right. Put an allied hero into a stasis crystal that explodes.
Beep.
I heard Scott first.
All right. I would like to use my Verdant Spheres, please.
Hey.
The answer is who is.
You're not going to know the
Hold
name.
Hold on. You're screw me up. What is Aurel's.
That doesn't have her name in it for sure.
No, I know that. It's hers, though. Shit. What is her? Oh, my gosh.
I think we got a
I can't believe I screwed that one up. What does that mean? I use the Verdant Spheres. I lose more?
Yeah, you're going to lose 600.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Go ahead, John.
All right. John, do you have it?
So I need to be better about closing the chat. I actually know it because I saw it in chat, so I'm not. I'm going to abstain from answering.
All right.
That's very gentlemanly of you. Lots of weird things happen in the Nexus, but one thing that never goes out of style is being a gentleman.
That's right. Sportsmanship and honesty, everybody.
All
right.
So
well,
Scott,
I just don't want to play dirty. You know, you could play this game in a way that's dirty and underhanded and mean. And or I don't want to do that.
Where you pause a lot.
He's dragging out time now.
Yeah, what are you talking? No, I'm just, I want to make it clear that I did it for the right reasons.
Yeah, something's in the rear with the gear still, working away on crystals.
That's the end of the regular round, folks. Keep in mind that your Verdant Spheres can work on Final Jeopardy, Scott.
Oh, they're still, it's not.
Oh, no, wait, you used it. Sorry, no, you used it.
Okay. Yeah. I was going to say, it sounds like they're renewable, but I guess not.
I thought he got three of them, because that's how many there are.
Nope, it's consumed. Balance. You got to balance this game, though. Can't bring everything over.
Well, right? It should be four Verdant Spheres, right? Well, whatever.
Unless John, you want to allow him a second use. So maybe the Nexus Magic will make it happen.
I think this is all just. I think again, this is all just time tactics because John's min-maxing over there. All right.
Agree. Final Jeopardy. And the category name for Final Jeopardy is Yeah, I got your esports right here.
Oh my lord.
Yeah, how's that in your ear, old folks?
That was pretty good.
Wow. All right. So, how much we got? I got to write down how much people are betting. So, John,
how much do I have?
You have $1,400,000.
Let's make this exciting. I'm going to bet $1,400,000.
Whoa!
Oh, he's betting it all. $1,400. All right, I'm writing that down. All right, Scott, how much you bet?
What do I
have? You have $999,900.
Well, then, if I don't go all in, I lose.
Yeah, John kind of bullied you there.
Yeah, go all
in.
Go
all in.
All in. All right. Yeah.
Man, the most money ever bet on Next Jeopardy tonight is history, folks.
Wow, yeah.
In the making.
Mark this one down on your calendar.
Here is the question, all right? Long one. Think about it. It's probably going to be pretty hard. I'll just throw that out there.
All right.
Great.
He's one of Team Tempo Storms. Formerly Tempest, players whose in-game name sounds to an English speaker like he named himself after this animal twice. Hint, not a goose, and it's not named Mendoza.
Well, that helped.
Good lord.
So it's the name of a player.
Don't look at the chat.
I'm not. I've got it. Well, I don't have it minimized. It's minimized
so
now.
So I'm going to count down 5 seconds. Five, four, three, two, one.
All right. I have no idea.
You guys. All right. Let's reveal our answers. John, what are you answering?
I don't know. It's a big question mark. It's a picture picture of me waving goodbye to $1 million+.
Mine says, okay. Mine says,
remember, not a goose.
What if I have a guess right now that it just came to me?
You better guess than just say, I don't know. I mean, if you have something, then
I'm just going to take a guess that it's because you mentioned goose. That all seemed, yeah. I'm going to say duck.
All right. Duck, all right. Duck, drum roll, duck. Please. All right. John, your answer is incorrect. And you have
weird. Strange. Right.
Although you will get your SCV money at the end. Maybe you'll catch it.
Let's just cash it in. I'll win with $1.
All right. And Scott, yeah. Your answer went with what is duck duck, right?
You said it's two words, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Your answer is correct.
What?
You win Jeopardy or Next Jeopardy.
Shut up. That's not real.
Yep. It's Duck Duck.
What?
Duck Duck is his name.
Shut up. I don't even know this guy. I've never even heard of this. Is this for real?
I Google it.
Are you serious?
I'm serious.
You're being
dude.
Serious. Hold on.
John, duck, does that ring duck. A bell with you now?
It does actually ring a bell with me.
I made that up.
And what I like is that Scott has completely now validated Rally Point. Because he won on the back of an esports question.
Yeah,
I mean, look
that's
at that.
True.
He can't beat him. I shouldn't have bet any money.
Right. Oh
what
my
I
gosh.
Get for going up against a Rally Point.
Duck, so duck Scott, Heroes Wiki. Daffy Duck. What? That's not it.
Go to Tempo Storm. Look up Tempo Storm roster. That'll Tempo get it for you. While you do Storm that, roster. I'm just going to do a tally. Scott, you ended Jeopardy with $1,999,800. And that makes you the winner. Congratulations. Because... how many minerals did you get from the SCV?
Oh, yeah. How'd your SCV do?
11 minutes since you got the SCV.
It won't matter.
So you've got 110 minerals that you can sell for $1 each. John ends with $110.
Yeah.
Oh, here it is. Duck, D-E-O-K?
Yeah. To an English speaker, it sounds like duck duck, but it's duck yuck or duck yuck or something like that. Like
I completely made that up. I'm not kidding you either. I just completely, that was a fart. Like, you know what? Here's where it came from. I knew you mentioned Mendoza the goose. People at home may not know this. There's this goose that lives near me, and he's constantly surrounded by ducks. So in my head, I'm thinking, all right, two words. It's not goose, but Bo makes this reference, and he knows that those ducks are always around. Maybe it's ducks.
I've listened to those episodes of Morning Stream.
I don't get it. I am completely blown away that I won, John. I had no idea. I don't even
don't feel bad. You beat me like
two times. I can't win every week.
I mean, it'd be one thing if I actually I really didn't know. I just made it up. So there you go. Take that, duck, duck.
And goose. You won $2 million. You had like the best victory ever on the show.
Wow.
You're a record setter.
All right. That was really fun. I will say that I like Next Jeopardy a lot. And to that one guy that still doesn't like it, hey, man, nothing can be done for you. So be happy. Enjoy your life. All right, we got a phone call to end things today. This is came to us on our voicemail line, 801-471-0462. Guy has a good example of not giving up in this video game, and I think it's a pretty smart one. I'll bet we've all been kind of in this place before, but I'll let you guys decide. So here he is. I'm delaying because... Okay, there it is.
Hey, guys. This is Kurt. I just wanted to relay a story that my friends and I... encountered recently. We were playing Heroes of the Storm, quick match, just, you know, random comps to get our dailies done. We were in a match, and by level 14, the other team had our core down to 8%. My friends and I, we were kind of ready to give up because there's no way we're going to come back, but the random guy we were matched with said, no, we can still win this. And we played for another, you know, good 7 minutes. We made it to level 22. We ended up losing. But it just goes to show that, you know, if you stick with it, this game can really turn around. And I think that's just a testament to the game itself and the fun that people can have if they don't worry so much about winning and just play to have fun. All right. Thanks, guys. Bye.
All right. So we've all been there. It's easy to look at that 76% stat or whatever it was, Bo, that the first keep means you're dead.
And, 90%?
Or 90%. And if you let that number get into your soul, you're just ruining your life. Like, why would you even keep playing? Like, as soon as the first one, I hate that stat. I freaking hate it because it just makes people make very poor decisions and basically accept their doom way before they should. In fact, I talked to a statistics friend who does statistics for a company here locally, and he said about this very stat. He says, that is a dangerous statistic. I said, what do you mean? He says, the problem with that stat is it could be accurate. It could just literally be there are mechanics in the game, invisible features of the game that make it very unlikely that you're going to win. There are outliers, but you are 90% sure you're going to lose in that scenario. He says, or that number could be because there is already a built-in sense of doom when somebody's first keep goes down and they give up a little bit. Even if they don't know they're consciously doing it, they see that as an early defeat because they're like, well, we got one of our keeps. We're way behind now. Like that feeling washes over them, and then they have a self-fulfilling prophecy and they lose. And he said, I wouldn't put too much credence into that number because it could be self-perpetuating. In other words, it's not about the keep going down. It's about the idea of the keep going down, getting into the brains of people who let that change how they play. And he says they may not even be conscious they're doing it. He gave me a bunch of examples like societal stuff. When somebody sees a house burning down, they might be more likely to, you know, mope around a little bit because that seems like loss you can't control. Like he had all these examples and I can't remember them all. He does some like weird.
Like they might go buy insurance, for example.
Yes, oh, crap, exactly.
Someone's house burnt down. I guess maybe I need to get some insurance.
There's the answer. Keep insurance. That's what we need. But anyway, so that's an interesting side of it that I hadn't really thought of when I talked to him. He's like, it may well just be the stat and that's just what it is. But he said he had a sneaking suspicion that this is more about, you know, look at it this way. If a team in basketball in the very first quarter, they get like, I don't know, they're up by 20. He says, I'll bet you money. You can find a stat that says 90% of the time that team wins, but they've studied that enough to know that most of that's just a mental game and they just gave up. Whether they knew they were giving up or not, they gave up. So I don't know why I'm telling everyone this, but I think it's something to consider. And I like this guy's call because I've seen some weird comebacks, you know?
There certainly are factors. I think this is very astute, actually. There's the self-fulfilling prophecy for sure. and also just a sense of maybe shielding yourself. Like sometimes when things are going bad, it's better to disengage psychologically from a situation and just move on to the next thing.
Yeah.
So on some level, you don't realize that it's having that much of an impact on what you're doing. So I think that's pretty smart.
Yeah.
I mean, the stat is what it is. That doesn't mean you're going to personally experience the statistic as well. Like you can't do anything to affect it. Like that's the global thing, but maybe our individual stats could be 20 or 30% of games in that scenario were turning it around because of, you know, it'd be interesting to look at pro play from this perspective and see if the numbers bear out.
Yeah.
And I'd bet they wouldn't, actually.
I bet they wouldn't either. I also think that, I don't know, it's just easy to get these numbers in your head and let them take over. Yes, John.
Well, and I kind of hate to use this because this is something that, you know, gets said a lot and it's almost to a point where it's kind of cheesy at this point, but I still think it's true. That number goes up to 100% if you give up.
Yeah.
If you stop trying and you decide, well, nope, we lost it, we're done, then that number is not 90%, it's 100%.
Yeah.
So you might as well play to, even if it seems like a small bit, play to the little bit of an advantage that you do have and see what you can do. Change up your game. I know that when things look hopeless for me in that game, that's when I want to try weird stuff in that game. It's like, well, okay, let's forget about playing the game that we've been playing and just lost. Let's go try something weird. Let's try a strategy that nobody has tried before. We might as well. What's the worst that happens? We lose a game that we were already on track to lose. Like, let's go crazy.
You are like Tony Robbins tonight, and I would like a poster with an eagle soaring high over majestic mountains with the quote below it that says, how'd you put it? If you quit, what is it? I don't remember. If you quit 100% of the time, you make it to school half the time. What was it?
what's the actual saying? You lose 100% of the games you don't play?
Or something like that. Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Whatever. Just whatever. A big eagle flying. It'll have nothing to do with the eagle. Mind you, I love that stuff. That kind of stuff cracks me up. But I agree with you. And I think that people should just keep it up. We've had weird games where we've come back and won under crazy circumstances. And I'll tell you what, some of those times I was losing the mental game. I was like, we're done. And Bo would say, no, come on. And we'd go do a thing and then we'd win. And those are important lessons when you have those, because you're like, oh, well, all right, under the right circumstances and everybody pulling together, there's no reason you can't pull it out and figure this out and break that stat.
And for any disbelievers, I'm going to drop, because we've been doing the climb with Kyle and he's been taping it all up. We've been doing it publicly mostly.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Have you seen that Towers of Doom game we played?
No.
Oh, so yeah, I recommend it. YouTube.com/Kyle Ferguson. You'll say, I think it's called like the scariest game ever or the most epic game ever. Towers of Doom to level 25, 30 minute game. We were at 1-1 for the longest time. At one point, they had 6 pumpkin eaters racing up to shoot on our core that we somehow managed. It was haymaker after haymaker, and we won the game because we capped the boss before they capped the one shrine, but involved a lot of fainting. It was just the comebacks in this game. They came back on us.
Yeah.
We had them at 1 for a long time, and we barely eked out a win. The games can be... You shouldn't give up hope ever in this game. But in solo queue, I think probably something about all these teammates suck kind of is more prevalent than when you're
playing. I agree. Friends, I think so. that's when the stat becomes a real one, or when it becomes one that you should pay attention to. Because when you're talking about solo queuing and quick match, there's zero you can do to control anyone else you're playing with. And if 3 of the 5 of you see first keep going down as, well, we're done, then what are you going to do? There's very little you can do as an individual at that point. But if you're in there as a team or 3 or 4 stack, it's never over till it's over, man. It's not over till the fat lady sings.
What else? BM on, is it Braxis Holdout, the one with the nukes?
Yes.
Warhead Junction?
Or Warhead Junction.
Yeah, the BM on that's going to be real, because their teammate that gave up is going to go get the nuke and shoot it on his own core.
Oh, can you do that then? You can shoot your own core.
Probably not. I'd have to guess they wouldn't do that, but still, you could probably aim it there just to piss off
that's
everyone
else. Griefy, that's some griefy, even if it's just the visual effect, that is some griefy going on there.
Yep.
Yep.
Maybe you can't target it. I hope they don't let you target it. Or maybe I hope they
do. I don't know.
I don't know. We'll see. Patch it later. Let's see what people do with it. Anyway, that's your email, or that's your phone call. 801-471-0462. You can also email us, core@heroesforyou.com. I think it's going to do it for us, boys. Heroesforyou.com is the website. You can go there and get all our links and stuff. Review us on iTunes, wherever you get your podcasts. Helps us out in ways that are difficult to describe. So do that, please. Alpha Geek Radio simulcasts this show. Join us in the game /join Frog Pants, and you'll be able to play with us and around us and with other people in the community. core@heroesforyou.com again is the email address. Core Heroes on Twitter. John_Jagger for John. I'm Scott Johnson, and Bo Schwartz on Twitter as well. It's going to do it for us, for me, for Bo, for John. We'll see you next time. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.